Ah, the headbanging goodness of Greyskull Eternal.
Yes, my always brother, headbanging.
My brother needs to give me his current band, because apparently that's an act he abandoned, I think, three years ago. Oh, yeah, this is doing absolutely nothing for him.
And he's got a new one coming up?
I think so. That's what he tells me.
Does he have an intro for us?
You know, why would he take the time to do that? I'm only his brother, who has scores of listeners. Sure.
But he should try and get us something, right? Did you even ask him?
I've asked.
Okay. Because you've been using this one for how long?
I've also asked, in case he's gone urban. Neither to Novo.
For how long?
What's that now?
How long have you been using this one?
Oh, 3 years, easy.
Oh,
something
wow.
like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty old.
Time to revamp.
Yeah, it was Ace of Spades by Motorhead until we realized there might be, you know, a whole legality
I've listened
thing
to
with
some
that,
of those episodes,
it
yeah.
being copywritten and Lemmy not being my brother.
Exactly, especially because you guys played it in its entirety and said, that's our personal song for the show.
Yeah, and then we would say, like, 1983 Motorhead LLC afterward. For some reason, like, we just were asking for it, and I don't know why.
I don't know what you guys were thinking.
It wasn't the wisest thing we've ever done. Hey, everyone, this is John Papa Giorgio of Papa's Basement. I'm joined today by Pete Maybe.
Hey,
who
as
is
always.
Standing, his arms akimbo. This is our new dynamic.
This
I
is
sit
it.
On my hemorrhoid pillow. He stands like a gym teacher ready
to... We haven't
to...
filmed it yet. Yeah, I brought my whistle.
Pretty much, man. You look like you're seeing the fat kid getting beaten and you're just letting it happen a little more. You're like, you know what? Hey, little fat kid. Kick his chubby little
kidneys
in a bit.
Rocking my little booty shorts.
Oh, yeah. Just one
my
testicle
knee highs.
Each side.
Yeah. Just we'll put it on film next time.
Big fat man fupa thing going. Yeah. So, show's fupa. Website. In Pop Mupa. InPapa'sBasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done. At Papa's Basement on Twitter for me and Instagram and Facebook.com. You know, wherever you can find stuff, except for Snapchat. I keep Snapchat pure.
Don't
it's
look
pornographic
up,
only.
Do not look up John on Snapchat
I
at
mean,
all.
Unless you want, like, a really shadowy, deceptive picture of my penis.
Unless you're a girl. That's...
Sure.
Maybe, no?
Well, it beats the
What are you
alternative.
Doing on Snapchat?
It beats the alternative. Do I need, like, a new roster, though? I have, like, my three
You're
or four
doing all right.
Snapchatters, yeah. You're just like, hey, look what I did.
And we're also on YouTube, not getting too profane over there. We're not exactly, like, silhouetting our junks on YouTube, so you guys can check
out
that.
No, that's actually the background picture of every video we've done.
Yeah.
That's silly. You're like, is that the beginning of 2001? Is that the obelisk? No. There's way too much hair around the base. There were monkeys around the obelisk, but there were breaks in the monkeys. The lice on my pubic lice
less
do
hairy.
Resemble the little bones
much
in the monkey's
less hairy.
Hands, though, so that does work. We have...
We have fewer bugs on them.
I'm gonna put this out there. I'm not really... blown away by a ton of shows we've done because I don't sit back and listen to them. I'm not saying they're great. I shouldn't have said that.
I have to curate all of them.
You listen to our shows the way like John Wayne Gacy cased Boy Scouts. Like it's obsessive
fervor,
to you.
Just sitting there. Just,
You're like, yeah, like you're sitting there. You've got a leaderboard of like which troop is the most bangable going. Like that's the passion you bring to the show. And that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. One of us has to have that.
Until one of us gets in trouble for it.
Well, yeah, I meant the metaphor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it is a metaphor. It's still a metaphor.
Exactly. Like,
okay.
Please don't tell me you're
it's
actually
still a metaphor.
Racking up Weeblo and
no.
wolf badges. And was there bear?
Somebody was. Did you do it? Yeah, you were like a Tiger Scout or something.
Oh, I peaced out after Weeblo.
Yeah. I didn't make it any further than that either. I
think
that's the obligation for a dad. Like, that's like the cutoff. They don't have to do it any further.
Well, there's this fine line when you start scouts. You're little, you do it, that's the cool thing. And like on a dime when you get to middle school,
yep.
If you're still in your khaki shorts, you are just not going to touch a breast for a long time.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah, and it's bizarre. I don't know. There's no other event for kids where you have to punch out quickly. Like maybe soccer. Maybe you have to go to baseball and football, but I think if you're like, oh, I played soccer throughout high school, no woman would be revulsed. I made that
no,
up.
No, I don't think so
that.
At all.
Repelled,
I mean, and in
repulsed.
Some cases, that's going to help you in your high school career. Now, I did something that was a little weird, was I did Civil Air Patrol, which is sort of...
I thought you were going to say you watched women go to the bathroom. Civil Air Patrol, what's this?
You do that in middle school, you can't get in trouble for it.
That's true. You get a mulligan.
Civil Air Patrol is just like a pre get ready for Air Force ROTC. Well, ROTC is kind of an army thing, but like it's sort of that militarized Boy Scout kind of deal. I don't know, but it was pretty lame too. But it wasn't like I didn't have to wear any of my like uniform.
Civil Air Patrol
school.
Sounds like something fictional from the world of, what is it, Captain Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
What was that CGI abortion?
It was terrible.
That I think
but
bankrupted
I'm still
the studio.
Law fan, so I don't care, whatever.
I had Angelina Jolie, but
she was in it?
I didn't even notice. So
I saw Jude Law.
That's Civil Air Patrol.
Yeah. That was something I got out of like really quick too. I did it for like 2 years. Cause I was like, oh, this is way cooler. This is like more manly. This is more macho. Sort of this military
thing. We did not have Civil Air Patrol as kids. Is that because you grew up near a base?
I never heard about it. Like, and even as I tell people today, they didn't know anything about it, but it's like a small
faction. Are you from that really sad town in an officer and a gentleman?
We did it at an Air Force base too.
All the women had to bang and marry pilots. And the men that weren't pilots just hanged themselves, I guess.
And if they did have a wife, they would eventually get banged by a pilot.
Exactly. Oh, that was just a point of honor.
Just that was it. Pilot. That actually happened.
What you doing tonight?
That actually happened in my unit.
How are you spending your Friday? Oh, I'm getting pilot cucked.
Yeah.
How about you,
Steve? Probably happened like 3 or 4 times.
I'm getting flyboy cucked myself.
Ladies love a pilot.
So the show is, we're going to talk LeBron. We have to talk that. For those a spoiler alert. That's like, you know, November 24th of 63.
Uh-huh.
Being like, hey, JFK, something horrible happened.
In case you guys didn't hear.
Yeah, no, it's LeBron and the Cavs brought a victory to Cleveland. So We are, I believe, second only to Minnesota, in the D.C. area, in terms of the non-winning now.
Oh, I believe that.
I think Minnesota.
I always thought we were last.
Is 25 years, so they have us by 1 year. That's it. And that's getting technical. Jeez. Because it was the 91 football season. It was just like the 92 Super Bowl. It was that January. So we're nipping on Minnesota's heels.
Oh, I believe it. I've always kind of felt like that.
We're up there, dude. It's bad. It is legit bad. And we're also going to talk maybe the most satisfying Game of Thrones death I have ever. It was all I could have wanted. This guy is a son of a bitch. I'll spoil it after.
Yeah. And I already know who you're talking about.
This guy was.
But I haven't been watching.
Biggest dick on wheels. And so little goes right for good people on this show. But the last 10 minutes of this episode was just this piece of crap losing on the battlefield, getting beaten, and ultimately being devoured by dogs.
Yes.
That's what victory is in life. I just want to say that to anyone who's listening. Thousands of good men have to die so that one asshole gets eaten by dogs at the end of the day. That's it.
It'll be worth it.
That's the human toll to take down one guy if he's a big enough prick. But the episode's highlight, the crown jewel, the diamond that dumb old bitch from Titanic threw in the ocean. God forbid she give that to UNICEF.
Idiot.
Or yeah. Medicine Sans Frontières.
Help somebody with that.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
Just throw it down. Let Ariel and the stupid singing crab and lobster party
with it. You already
ruined
Jack's life.
Yeah, just oops.
Just piss away a couple of kids' futures.
I've never. Is there a more frustrating scene in all of movies?
She's a horrible woman. And I think we could do an entire episode on that now.
She is.
Wait a minute. Really? You never stopped being terrible.
Yeah.
You couldn't even contribute after the fact.
She is.
You lied to the people telling the story, and then you got rid of something priceless that could have helped so many people.
She is worse than Annie Wilkes. Is that the
you
name I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Fatso in Misery.
Okay.
I like how I don't
that's
know her.
Terrible.
The actress's name. Kathy Bates. There you go. I think that's Annie Wilkes. She has nothing on a woman that, again, just flushed a cool several million dollars that could have gone to anyone but her old. How about her family?
Anything.
That has to support her
how
old
is that?
Ass.
Yeah.
Nope, just
she's at a home and they're like, Grandma, do you have anything we can pawn to keep this going?
Yeah, they're selling their kidneys, super gluing the sutures together. Ah, that old prune, selfish bitch. She had everything.
God.
She had anything that came to her. all those, that frozen
time.
Yeah,
what a jerk.
She had all of that coming. She had all of that coming. So, the episode
highlights.
Hopefully
she gets eaten by dogs.
And there's no debate, because it doesn't involve us. It involves a true radio professional. Pete, I want to thank you as producer of the show. Putting on your producer cap, not just your co-host cap, but your producer cap. You have been in touch with Chris Stanley, producer of SiriusXM's Bennington show.
I have.
For the last few weeks. And we got the chance to meet the Bennington cast a few weeks ago up in New York.
Which is a fantastic show. That was for Big J. Okerson, which told hilarious stories the entire time. So, and
which,
special
like a
just
talking horse, or who, like a human being?
I don't know. Whatever. But all I know is he was telling hilarious stories, and his special just came out, and they just dropped his Unmasked. That's what we were up there for, with Ron Bennington. And
yeah, Ron
check out
does
all of those.
A long-form interview series called Unmasked, unparalleled. If you're sick of... I'm not going to say like I'm some master of knowing long-form interviews. There's also James Lipton, who was a street pimp in France at one point. So I'll give him that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think Ron ever sold human flesh like that. I don't think he peddled female dignity. Yeah. So one point for Mr.
Skin
Lipton...
Lamp.
God, I didn't say he was Mengele, for Christ's sakes. But Ron does just... I could sit down and he could interview anyone for 60 mm-hmm. minutes. And he makes
it awesome.
He's incredible
he's
at
wizard.
Pulling stories out of people. He's great with his own rejoinders. When he hops in, it's just ninja quick.
Yeah.
It's just a laugh. And then he's back out and the person's talking again. So the Bennington show, where it's Ron, his daughter Gail, who has her pop's talent, man. It's insane, because I don't think Gail's been doing radio that long, but she managed to hop in and co-host.
She was fantastic.
She is.
They were both great.
So we met these guys in New York 2 weeks ago.
They made it way too easy.
And Pete over here, I just kind of wanted to stare from afar and giggle like a Japanese schoolgirl. Like,
and we did.
I know you. And Pete was full of confidence and rail gin. And
yeah, I was
going to
say, that's exactly what it was.
And said, Ron.
It's when I do my best networking.
I am part of the Papa's Basement show. We are huge fans of yours. We want to one day be on Sirius. I think you pretty much. We're huge in D.C. What other lies did you say? And it just went on and on. At one point, you're like, I'm typo positive.
They renamed the building after us.
Yeah.
It's the Papa's Basement building.
Somehow Ron, although I don't think he fell for any of your BS.
I don't
Ron
think he did.
Was like, guys, we're going to be in D.C. next weekend, actually. If you want to talk to us, just talk to Chris Stanley over there, my producer. He'll handle it. And you talked to Chris. And
he did.
We got to chill the next week in SiriusXM with Ron Bennington, Gail Bennington, and Chris Stanley, and they were kind enough to record a 20-minute segment with us where I got to talk about the history of talk radio a bit, where it's going, more importantly. if not a good place, according to Mr. Bennington, and I think he's...
he told us our future.
He's on the money there. Yeah, not much of one. Doesn't involve a lot of zeros after a comma. And we talked about Don and Mike, his time in the Fairfax area at JFK when he worked with those guys who are also radio
little local
heroes
talk.
Of mine. But and then Gail talked about her time doing some voiceover
her
work.
Extracurriculars and
her video games, which was hilarious. But it was top to bottom a great experience. Pete, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank Chris Stanley for helping facilitate it. And, of course, I want to thank Ron and Gail Bennington, who couldn't have been nicer. We're going to play the interview for you now, and after that, it will be LeBron and dead Game of Thrones stuff. Without further ado, here is the Papa's Basement interview of the cast of Bennington, Ron and Gail Bennington.
All right, everyone. This is John Papagiorgio. I'm joined today, of course, by co-host Pete Mabee and two
Howdy.
Very special guests, the hosts of my favorite radio show. I say that in all seriousness, Bennington. Ron Bennington and his daughter, Gail Bennington.
I'm just sad that you had to say I'm saying this in all seriousness. As if who would believe that?
He says that about a lot of guests.
I'm
not kidding this time. Well, I remember when you wrote that article for the Interrobang about Always Sunny.
Holy crap, you do. Yeah. Wow.
No way.
And you said, admit it, it's great. And I'm like, I thought everybody knew it was great. There's some people who don't like that show.
I honestly feel Always Sunny, maybe around, what, season 10 now? Like, yeah. People finally recognize that it's hit some sort of stride, and it is great. But I think a lot of people watched, like, two seasons and walked away. And
I didn't know that.
I thought it hit its stride early. Like, I thought it was amazing probably by at least three.
I always liked the fact that they never cared about doing the accent in Philly, even once. No. Not even slightly. And then one time they did that show about accents, and they brought up, like, if you had to pull something, you know, you had to pull this card, and then whatever came up, you had to do the accent, and they were going around. And then they pulled a Philly accent, and they just started doing it and nailed it. Like, they could have done it the entire time.
Why not?
It was really funny, though. But I thought it was great that they were just like, this is what people from Philly talk like. Well, it's great to be on with you guys. Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, thanks for waiting around for all the trouble.
So, I have to ask.
Good.
Hold on, we're getting a call.
How does this place, the DC Studios, XM, that's where we're recording before you're unmasked with Ali Wong, how does this compare to the New York studio?
It's, I'd say, 1 million to 2 million times better.
Yeah, it's so massive. There's so much space. These studios are gorgeous.
So you guys are actually, like, creative. Like, it's not...
Well, you know, we're in Midtown Manhattan, mm-hmm. uh-huh. and we have a million stations, and all kinds of, you know, celebrities are coming in and out all the time. So, yeah, I mean, we're way more cramped. This place is gigantic. We're about, what, about one-tenth the size of this.
I imagine it just like one long hallway.
It is.
Is it something
it's
like
pretty
that?
Much.
It
yeah.
is, and it's glass.
You guys are what? Avenue of the Americas, right? You guys are like what floor?
We're 36th floor?
36th
floor,
yeah.
yeah. So, you know, there's only
just
one.
The one?
Yeah. There's, we got a couple of floors there. But this place is, you know, massive.
It's also awesome. Gorgeous. It looks like you could shoot something about a radio station.
Right?
It's so phenomenally beautiful.
It's an experience.
Well, we were talking about just writing a rom-com for this place. And I thought, like, a radio co-host falls in love with a drug addict, gambler, producer.
Perfect.
Who curses way too much.
Sounds great.
Yeah. So, practically writes itself.
Yeah, it does.
So, you have the Unmasked with Ali Wong coming
yes.
up.
Speaking of Unmasked, this is for the listeners. If you guys aren't following the at Twitter Unmasked account, you definitely have to. It's the only way you're going to get tickets, and all the interviews are amazing.
Well, thank you very much. Today, we're running the Big J Okerson, because that's mm-hmm. you know, running this weekend, and then I'm taping Ali, but we've got... a couple more really cool ones booked up. A couple of the last ones were some of the funniest we've ever done, too. The Big J, you
the
guys
Big
were
Big
J
was hilarious.
It was
yeah.
just wall-to-wall laughs. Before that, Jim Norton was also wall-to-wall laughs, if you get a chance to hear that
can't
one.
Believe I missed that.
It's just a scream.
So, and by the way, I just want to say the Big J story where he was talking about dropping his pants.
Yeah.
Funniest stuff ever. 2001.
All that I could think of was Bobby Hill. I just had the feeling, like, literally while he was saying it, I was just thinking of a young, short, fat Big J just trying to get love. You know, he just got in a controversial thing, Big J Okerson. He was with the AV Club, I believe, and it was their hate song.
Yeah.
And what he said was so offensive that they had to pull. There were so many complaints about it. They had to pull it off AV Club.
I've never heard it.
No, me neither. I mean, that's the site with the Onion, right?
Yeah.
So you
right.
would think they're used to
They'd
some controversial
cool.
things.
Yeah.
I think he said some stuff about Seal.
Topical.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's definitely too soon.
Speaking of the Onion, they just
That's the thing. I guess no one knew that Seal had scars until Big J pointed out.
Thank you for pointing that out. Now, speaking of the Onion, they just killed their celebrity gossip site,
that no one
Star Wipe.
About,
that
yeah.
no one knew about. Yeah,
I didn't know about it either.
Nope. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they built like a big office and they couldn't afford it anymore. But like, seriously, there's so many writers out there. Just farm them out. You don't need, I don't know how you lose money or,
yeah.
A website's $12 a year.
Right, so you're saying just limit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
How are you not running it?
I didn't know about it, though. You got to get it in my kitchen a little bit.
Now it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, I guess, this is a weird thing, and you guys must go through this as well, a lot more than us, because people know what they're doing when they're buying into Sirius XM, but anything can pull anything down now. Like a few complaints could turn over the apple cart for anybody.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. We've actually had our slots bumped around.
Because of those reasons? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just due to a couple language complaints, nothing really.
This could be airing at 10 p.m.
Okay.
not the 5 we asked for.
Yeah.
So.
No, we knew it all too well. You guys are actually, how does that feel being like maybe the last of what's left of talk radio, what used to be so big, and now it's just Sirius?
Do you really don't think it exists anywhere else, like kind of that kind of talk radio?
I think, like, there's little enclaves in the South where mm-hmm. some guy named, like, Bubba in the Truck or some team yeah. like that is still doing a kind of...
By the way, I love Bubba, hate the Truck. Like, yeah. Gigantic... You know what's funny is there is an actual guy named Bubba, and he's like, why use me as an example?
You could have said anything.
Just say me.
And you know I don't share my show with the Truck, okay?
Those days are over. It is an odd thing, you know what I mean? It is an odd thing, and for years I kind of felt like I felt the ice breaking behind me, you know what I mean? Like... Mm-hmm. Being that last one in. But it really isn't that old of a thing to do anyway. You know, if you really look into that type of morning show, 70s, maybe late with Imus, but certainly more of, 80s before it really took hold, when Howard got so big and people started to look around like, hey, is this the thing to do? So it's not like... It's not like something that's been there a long time.
No, it's not like a guarantee in life. It's doo-wop
music, basically. Guy talk is doo-wop music. It's just a cul-de-sac of that, that happened for a while. But what's funny to me is now that you have podcasting and people mm-hmm. do the same thing, it really is that kind of same talk, except for they don't make a living at it. You know what I mean? That's the part that kills me. It's there, just no one gives it enough value that people can make a living in.
Right.
It's very tough to make money off the podcasting.
Very few people do, correct?
Yeah.
I think some of those people already have enough money. Like, they're already famous anyway, so.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. Or some of the people who use it as a way to push their tour dates, you know? Mm-hmm. But you're still now going out living, like, a comics life instead of... the life that I have where you could actually do this and, have a family and put kids through school and all that. I mean, it was an actual occupation for a very short period of time.
That breaks my heart to hear the short period of time.
Yes. I just let you know that it's almost like, oh, my God, I ate this food that you'll never have.
but you're saying we're here for the death rattle. At least we're here for that.
It is somewhat of the death rattle. But it's up to the people, you know what I mean? I don't think – I think the people, let's say, in the 80s when they didn't like something, they would turn it off, not necessarily try to kill it. And somewhere around the 90s, they thought, we need to bring some of these things down,
Yeah. People started getting a little too sensitive.
SEC fines and...
Yeah, and I mean, you had to... in hindsight...
There was a line crossed.
Yes, it was. It was good to find out where that line was.
When I first asked... So it's awesome that we're in a Sirius XM building and we get to be in the studio, but when I first asked to go to our radio station, the very first thing he said to me was like, you can only be in Safe Harbor. Like, I don't care what time you want to do it.
Right.
So that was really difficult because, they wanted to play it safe because people might have complained.
Well, people will lose their jobs. Like, when you brought up Sex for Sam, it wasn't just that those guys that lost their jobs. The PD lost his job. The general manager lost his job. And that's when they said basically, like, hey, we're never doing this again, No one is going, and it's sad to say this, but no one else is going to have sex in a beautiful cathedral while acting like that's funny.
Well, that's the point of America.
Yeah. Yes. And I believe it was anal. It never gets discussed.
Really?
I believe it may have been anal. Okay. Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah. Yes. Take it. Run with it.
So the ripple effect actually brings us to the next point.
Mm-hmm.
That ripple effect, the fallout from Sex for Sam, where the station then flips formats, propels you to the Fairfax area.
Yes, I worked at JFK.
You're a Florida guy, you're a New York guy.
Right.
Great places. And then it's 3 years in Fairfax.
Were we really there that long? Were we there for 3 years?
I think you were 03 to 05.
Right?
Wow, yeah, so 2 years. Yeah. 2 years.
Okay, yeah. Inclusive.
But it did, that started Fez's panic attacks and, you know, sadness. And as a matter of fact, when we left there, we were offered to work out of here. This was the thing. It was Eric Logan. And Fez is like, no, we have to go back to New York because that's where I could be sane. Again, that's where I'll be free.
Makes sense.
How'd that work out?
No, it didn't. But you know what? Theories happen, you know? You have to have a theory. But Gail, you never lived down here at all.
No, no.
You would come down occasionally.
Yeah, I was in school at the time. So, yeah, during that time of your career was probably like the most distant I was.
Right.
Where I wasn't able to, you know, listen that frequently. So I would catch it here and again when I would come to visit though.
Did it sound different to you? Did it sound like?
Yeah, it was a very big change. And for me, it was felt seemingly overnight because, you know, I wasn't here for the beginning of it,
right.
So I showed up, and you're like, yeah, this is this new weird vibe that's going on. It was, yeah.
Oh, you mean as far as Fez
having
struggling?
Yeah, yeah, and everything. And also just, like, the style of the show was different.
Mm-hmm.
You were also doing, what was it, the fastest hour?
Oh, yeah. We were doing
which
that
was a great
middays.
Concept
yeah.
show, and
well, it was a great concept for, you know, pardon the interruption, but it wasn't that different from what they were
sure.
doing then. We just done radio in an hour as fast as we possibly could, but that was a ball.
All right. I have one question as just a fan of the format, fan mm-hmm. of the station, all that. Do you have any, like, great Don and Mike stories? Gail, I'm not sure if you know who Don and Mike were. They were.
I've met them a few times, yeah.
Now, are you fans of them? Or are you?
I grew up, like, it was just Stern, Don and Mike, and you guys. That
yes.
Was,
I always thought that Don and Mike, and you know, because they used to fight with O&A all the time.
Broke my heart.
I felt the same way. I was like literally saying like, it almost seemed like, for both of them, and I don't know who started or who returned, but I'm like, this is like seeing a dog bark at a mirror. You know what I mean? Like, they're the same dudes. They're the same backgrounds. And that's something weird that I think the reason why that kind of talk radio didn't work so much because there was always that kind of infighting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was that always, no matter what station you went to, you know, the 12 o'clock show would be fighting with the 3 o'clock show and mm-hmm. or the, you know, the morning show. So it was always that way because I don't think Howard ever even got along with either one of those shows either.
They openly beefed.
There was never any reason to do that. But I always thought that Don and Mike were terrific. As a matter of fact, I always thought that it was amazing, on 9/11, they were in New York with us at the time, and, I remember when the whole thing was going down, going like, what is going to happen? And I walk in, and they were just running a straight news show, man. Like, they went from being shock jocks to, all right, here's what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, they're really good broadcasters. And to be good at any of this stuff, you have to be, a good broadcaster. And, like, I saw that day, I thought, well, these guys could do, you know, guy talk, but they could do sports, they could, you know, do news, they would probably be great if they were a parade about it. Is the level of broadcasting skill that those guys had, I always thought was pretty amazing.
It's pretty tight.
Yeah.
And it's weird you mentioned 9/11. You were there as well, like, the whole staff was there. I know the O&A show for 9/11, I wasn't in town, so I didn't hear that.
O&A couldn't come in that day. They did a show out of Long Island. Dynamike were in New York at the time, so they were on the air. And then I ran down to Gail's school,
yeah.
Got her, and brought her back to the station because we couldn't get back to where we were. So she was actually there with me during that entire show.
Yeah, I was in the room for that whole show.
Yeah, which was crazy.
Yeah, that was such a surreal experience. I mean, just opening up the phones and, you know, people who are just still in that very raw
looking
state.
For people, yeah.
It was not, there wasn't even at that point of reflection yet. So
no.
Everything was still completely raw and people were calling, you know, looking for their family members. Yeah, it was a very intense place to be. And yet it felt very connected to be there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that when you know, you talk about the format, I mean, just think now how many places are automatic. You know what I mean? So guys like you should be making your bones at different shifts, you know, at that point, and you'd be able to go on the air and talk about these things. But now I don't know where, you know, I don't know what will happen if something like that comes up again. I don't know how many stations will be up and moving enough to actually be there to service the community. Like I said, Dynamike went from doing, you know, the fact of their regular show to being that kind of show that would be able to be the center of a community, giving out information, taking in information. That stuff is a lot more important than people think. Mm-hmm. And by the way, all the cell phones go down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you really do need...
rely on the radio.
You need terrestrial radio in that situation.
100%.
All right, well...
let's end on the 9/11 note.
Christmas. You know what? We tried to. Chris, why don't you come in and say hi?
We gotta get out of here.
Hello, everyone. How's it going?
Chris, by the way, Stanley thanks Bennington. For facilitating this, man.
Thank you so much.
It.
Very welcome.
And, I guess we have to
we owe you
wrap
money.
Up on that note. He's giving the signal. Ron and Gail...
you were giving a single signal, Chris?
Yeah, I was giving you a countdown.
A little bit.
Why?
I saw the fingers.
That was 5 minutes ago.
Well, I wish we could have ended on something a little brighter there. I wish I could tell you guys you have a future in this business. But you don't.
Nope. That's okay.
But you don't. But you're going to have something I never had, and that's VR goggles.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
think
your
about
life
that.
Is
we can
good
just play games
too.
All day, and you can do the voiceovers in it.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted to ask her about voiceovers.
Oh,
you never had.
I already did, but I'm going to have her sign some video games.
Characters you did. So we.
Oh, yeah. So I started, I worked at, Rockstar Games for a long time. So I started,
awesome.
I actually met them because I came in to do some voiceover, and through that ended up getting a gig there, but I just ended up being kind of like a utility player.
Okay.
So anytime that they would need
women on the street,
oftentimes young boys. This was like
no,
often if there was like a 10-year-old boy that
yeah,
was
let's
my
hear
job.
Your 10-year-old boy.
So I'm like the first voice that you hear in Red Dead Redemption, and I'm the newspaper boy, and I'm going extra, extra, read all about it. That's pretty much
perfect.
From the
Thank you.
So you can hear me. I'm a lot of women screaming and crying, being raped and murdered. And, I also play a little anime character in, it's like an anime TV show within the actual video game. So to see yourself on a tiny screen, within a tiny screen.
That's pretty
and
dope.
You know you've really made it.
What's that voice?
So that is, so it was like, oh, sake! It's like that. It's pretty much that. Ski ball makes sake sick. I don't know why sake
thank
makes
you so much.
It was,
sake makes me sick.
Sake did a speed ball?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any voiceover I ever
thank
did like that, I always went back to my same character, Gruff.
Yeah.
He's just like, hey. That's all I ever had. Shut up.
Gruff sounds a lot like Bubba.
it is. It's Bubba. Well, dudes, this was really fun.
Thank
Chris.
You guys.
Thank you so much.
Chris really looks upset with us because we've screwed up his
sweating.
Calendar. We've got to go say hi to some of the XM bigwigs.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Kiss the ring. Thanks a lot, guys. Best of luck with everything.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
One more time, thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you.
To Ron Bennington and Gail Bennington and Chris Stanley and anyone else who had a hand in it.
That
I think
was
it was just those
so
three.
Much fun, though.
Yeah, it's very, very rare that I'm saying a lot of varies right now.
Because
that's how you can tell.
Well,
I mean,
it is.
It was incredible. It's just seeing that dude in action.
Exactly.
My God. And Gail, really, I was impressed. I have to say, just very impressed by how good Gail was.
Way easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
they
both
crushed
killed. I'm sorry that it sounded like I was calling into my own interview. I swear I was in the room for
John
that.
Was there. No, I told him to leave.
That wasn't just me.
I manage this deal. It's just us.
I wasn't splicing myself in via phone, I promise. So do we do a little current events now? Is that what you're feeling, Pete? You're picking your nose. I think that's an affirmative.
Yeah. I wasn't actually picking my nose. I was just like messing with like the little front here.
I believe there was a Seinfeld that dealt with this very premise.
I wasn't doing it. I wasn't picking my nose.
If I were viewing you from above, if I were one of your sky pups or whatever the hell you did as a kid
what?
On my little glider looking down, you would
look I didn't like have any choice. I don't know what you're talking about.
You were two knuckles up there. whatever. What was your sky captain thing you did as a...
Oh, the Civil Air Patrol?
Civil Air Patrol. They didn't hand you a flying foil? Like tailspin?
No, nothing like that. No, it sucked. They taught us
like,
how to march and stuff.
Did you get DaVinci wings? Was there any flight?
I didn't get anything cool. No, I didn't get to fly.
There was no human flight here.
No, except for one time they were like, a plane crashed. Let's go look for the bodies. And I was like, all right, I guess.
That is the grimmest thing I've I know. Ever heard.
I was like, okay.
You're like, way to spend my 8th birthday.
Yeah.
Thanks, dude. I want to talk LeBron James. Last night, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, but really LeBron James.
And the LeBrons.
Yeah, and the LeBronettes, because they're a Motown group now. They brought home, for the first time in 52 years, since I believe the 64 Browns won...
52 years.
Won whatever was the precursor to the Super Bowl. Do you know what that prize was?
I don't know. What was it? You know, right?
I believe it was just called an NFL championship.
Golden shoe.
I don't think... Yeah, exactly. It was a Monopoly piece. And before that, there was the top hat. I don't get how those were just obliterated by the presence of the Super Bowl. It's very weird to me.
Yeah.
Don't you think so? Like, when you came out...
Also, we didn't record a whole lot back then.
But when they make a new... Like, the new $20 bill...
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to have the black lady on it?
Harriet Tubman?
When that comes out,
you're
it's not
the
like,
Tubman and the Jackson?
It's not like my white person $20 bills are nothing. Like, they coexist.
I would hope they would still be worth a little something.
And yet, somehow, the Super Bowl comes out, we could care less that teams won championships that weren't Super Bowls.
Before
the Redskins,
that,
I believe, have multiple.
I could care less.
I'm a diehard
Were there
Redskins
commercials?
Fan.
Not interested.
I'm a diehard Redskins fan. Could I tell you how many of whatever the hell it was called we had? I think three. Let's just say three. We had a couple of them. They were good times. So LeBron.
The ultimate skirmish.
Brings home to Cleveland in what I'm going to say is maybe the greatest singular effort I have ever seen in an athlete when it came to bringing home the bacon for his team. Is there any sport even close to basketball when it's just
like an individual
we're dumping one all-star on this team, they're winning 25 more games this year.
Oh my god.
Like, you have maybe what a pitcher, even if you have an ace, he's pitching what, but, like every fourth game?
Yeah, even in a pitcher, you're still not going to win the game that way. You still have to hit the balls.
You have a quarterback. He's half of the team's, like, he's the captain of one half of the team?
Exactly.
I'd say hockey, but no one cares. Let's be honest.
Yeah, but that is still...
And you still
if
have...
If you did want to bring that up...
You still have a goalie.
That is still very...
Who represents the defense.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could... Yeah, you could split it like that, so putting basketball as, like, the one and only... Kind of just the one guy.
You're talking a Cleveland squad that I think
But hockey's
was
damn close.
Crappiest in the league for the 4 years that LeBron pieced out to Miami.
Yeah, it wasn't there.
To bang Cubans, to smoke Cubans.
Can you blame him?
To snort Peruvian. Whatever the
to
hell he did.
Snort Peruvians.
Yeah, I think he lived.
Do rails of Colombians.
Is that what the rich do? They just go to crematoriums and snort post...
Have whatever South American treat they can get their hands on.
So he comes back from Miami, and he's like, screw it, I'm going to win it all for Cleveland, because this is a Rust Belt nightmare asshole. There will never be an economy here again, but you guys can go, sport! Sports are a winner! And he came back, and last year, the Warriors kind of beat him because, like, the only two other players worth a damn on the team were dinged up for the finals. I think Kyrie Irving was out after the first game of the finals, and Kevin Love wasn't even there for
Couldn't
the finals.
Tell you.
I know, you're a woman.
But it doesn't matter. They need
a sports-hating woman.
I like the isotopes, the Springfield isotopes. That's it.
Albuquerque. So they fail. It's a rematch. This time, Steph Curry, the rest of the Warriors, they look undamn beatable. 73 games, dude. Coming in 73 games won.
Coming in hot.
NBA record. And you know what? LeBron and the Cavs, they're down 3-1. Somehow, I mean, I wrote them off. We all wrote them off. Anyone,
why wouldn't you?
Anyone who says they believed, anyone who's like, we were witnesses and does the little chalk clap.
Yeah.
You're all full.
Everyone I know lost money on this.
You're all full of
ass. Let's be real.
Somehow, man, it was like six lopsided piece of crap games. Game seven. Tight the whole way through. I don't think there's ever a double-digit lead held. It's basketball. I don't care until it's the fourth quarter. I'm going to level with you. I'm one of those pieces of crap. Like, I watched a couple
of the games.
They were all bloodbaths one way or the other. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch my Game of Thrones in peace. I'm going to get it done, and that's going to time out where I get to watch, like, the fourth quarter, and whatever happens, happens. And every time I flipped to the game, Cleveland started losing.
We did catch a bit of Game 6. We did get to watch some of that.
Yeah, we're in Hooters.
Yeah.
I didn't want people to know I was a degenerate, but there you go. I patronized Hooters.
Yeah, that one did a slam dunk on my liver. So that was a fun game.
Every place does a slam dunk on your liver. You're like, I went to Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, my liver was obliterated. The county fair.
They were playing Rugrats, and I had to have a couple.
Exactly. Like, honestly, if you could drink in your sleep, you would. It's something we're going to have to talk about one of these days, but not now. You got me an interview with Ron Bennington. For now, bottoms up,
tipsy. Still doing good work.
Yeah, have at it. So it's a tight damn game. Eventually, from my perspective, the good guys win, from the correct perspective. Cleveland pulls it out. The long-suffering Ohio area gets its win. 52 years. Think about that. 52 damn years. So my question to you, when LeBron goes back to town, is there anything this dude won't get to do? And is it the greatest achievement in sports? Like, is he the pinnacle?
In sports.
King Kong.
Wow.
Everyone will bone me. Hmm. Because think about
it. Well, as a really big sports guy, I probably have a really good answer for that.
You wanted to say sports ball right there. That's how little you care about sports. And I humor you. I do. Because you did
the
Air Force for a couple of years. Okay. What I'm putting out there, I think he would he's married now. And I don't know if he creeps or whatever. I don't have his cell phone.
Please.
I'm not trying to hack it. Look, he's.
We've done the athlete episodes.
He's a big time NBA star. Given his achievement, I hope for his sake. His chick is like, look, just don't finish inside.
It's okay.
That's the one rule.
Just don't have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Cool.
If you're going to finish down the throat, make sure they drink vodka to kill the baby seeds in their tummy afterward. Because I don't want anyone.
You know that those can plant.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to.
Can't be too careful.
Well, not just, they might be puking it back up and then smearing it all over, you know, like a Cheeto pet down
there. Oh, like that way.
Yeah, and that's how babies happen.
Yep. That could still work, I guess.
Tom Brady.
I'd hate to see that kid.
Like, Tom Brady brings Boston, you know, Boston area, their Super Bowl, and then another, and another, and another. But Boston is winning as hell. Like, the Bruins got one, I think, in the last, like, five or six. The Red Sox got, I think, 04 and 06. Celtics got one in, like, 09.
When you do it too much, yeah, it seems, like, less important.
They're just one of those cities that's been cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's like the good-looking white preppy dude. I get that. I think LeBron can declare prima nocta. I think LeBron could kill a man in cold blood with a, you know, like we were all witnesses, his thing.
Yeah.
That could apply to the thousands of people that watched him strangle a man. In the center of an arena, and they would all take the fall. It would be like, I am Spartacus. I don't know if there's anything he couldn't do.
In the Ohio Delta. I can see him getting allowed to do that.
The Ohio River Delta, I think he is the lord of the Rust Belt now. They call him the king. He could wear a literal crown and nothing else.
Yeah, there's like a picture of him like throwing off like one, like a mafia dude, like off the side of a boat or something with like a thumbs up, and he's like shaking hands with the Don. They're just like, He could do whatever
he
wants.
Yeah, it'd be like Carlito's Way where they'd beat the fat gangster to death in the boat, except his sons would just be like,
pictures of it.
You're the greatest king.
And it's in the front page, and they're like, King does it again.
And again, just wearing his crown. Yeah. I think he gets to play ball the rest of his days that way. Just his huge kingly dong flapping in the breeze. Everyone's afraid of him when he's on offense. They don't want to get dunked on, get actual balls in their face. Yeah, but who wants dunking on and balls
and balls, yeah. Just double trouble.
That LeBron D cheese by the third quarter. No one wants that. God. I think he will be able to write his ticket in a way no athlete has since. And I get it. It's not like Jeter in New York where, hey, Mariah Carey's coming to town. Would you like your D-assed by her? I get it. There's certain things that are kind of compromised by being in Akron, Ohio. Mm. But I think he gets to live like Boss Hogg.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to let him do whatever.
He is the evil dude from
Roadhouse. I feel a little bit bad for the Warriors, but my advice is don't come in winning with a winning record or like even breaking any records, because statistically in most sports, if the team that starts out with like the winning record or goes in there, they're like, oh my God, they're totally S hot. They almost never win the series.
I don't know, man. I believe
it's
Game 7,
statistically,
home
it's
teams,
like,
Game 7 NBA is like 80%
They
lock.
Win it like 40% of the time.
I mean,
it's still less.
You don't want too much hype, but they came in playing some real evil squads, whereas I think Cleveland didn't have that hard a time coming through the East. And
That's what I always say about the Redskins. I was like, well, we just had a bunch of really hard teams.
Yeah, because
and we didn't.
No one else in the league plays anyone difficult.
This was a bye week, and thing. You guys lost.
I'm always like, well, they had to play the Patriots this year. You know who else did 15 other teams?
Yeah,
but somehow,
exactly.
Somehow those guys handled
Damn
it.
Damn it. Can't use that argument.
I think it is, like, right now, the way LeBron is living, that is the closest to, like, Tutankhamun, Sun King Ra on Earth stuff there has ever been through athletics right now.
They like, have to bury him with the crown.
I really think women will be fighting to run up to his shorts and like fit that dune sandworm in their mouth. I'm just, he's going to live in a way that you and I, like, he'll have to read the biographies of like Louis the 14th to know what to expect. And maybe, yeah, then he'll like play ball in those little weird buckled shoes.
Right.
It'll get really bizarre.
And still dunk on fools.
And powdered wigs. Yeah. But that's, he is going to live in a way you and I will never understand. And I think
bad.
It is going to put to shame. Like, I think he'll have it better than Gretzky ever did. Oh, I don't know. Did you ever? I might have to take
How
that one back.
How did Gretzky live?
Well, I believe Gretzky had a hot wife, because if you've ever seen Gretzky's daughter.
Oh, yeah. She's all right.
Yeah. I have never had, like, feelings like that for a woman. I think they're called love. I think that's what it is. But
I couldn't tell you.
You look at Wayne Gretzky's daughter, and I'm not even a big blonde guy, but my sweet Lord, that is an ass. That's like Scarlett Johansson, 17 years old, beginning of Lost in Translation ass.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want it on my face. Like I want
this world's too early. Don't say it, bro.
I want to put it on my face like a mom with a headache does an ice pack. Like, just drape it over, shut off the lights in the bedroom, and I don't want to hear the kids for a while.
Big glass of wine.
Exactly.
Just sipping.
Just watching my programs.
Just with the ass on her face.
Tough
sipping
day
a glass of wine.
Just kicking back, man. Just kicking back. So, I know you don't really do the sports thing. Makes this awkward.
Baseball.
Why do you hurt
me? I guess that's the same thing, sure.
Why like, is everything...
Why'd you even bring that up?
Why?
I said you don't do sports. I already covered that.
Everything that's right with me is wrong with you. I watch... You might as well have said sumo wrestling for all the relevance to American popular culture.
Baseball? Baseball? We talking about baseball?
We're talking about baseball?
I'm over here talking about basketball. You want to talk about baseball?
Oh, Iverson. God. God, I love you, Iverson. So... And for those counting the so's at home, I believe we're up to four.
At least.
That wasn't the only giant felled last night, the 52-year Cleveland sports drought. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you're into Game of Thrones and you haven't caught up,
spoiler warning,
you can turn it off the rest of the episode. I'm going to do a little bit of spoilaging, as the French say. That might have been an Italian accent. I don't know. I'm so good. Yeah, it's multinational.
I feel like a lot of people have learned a lot of French words listening to some of the previous podcasts. There's a lot of really good French words.
Merde. Sounds like murder.
There you go.
It sounds like the Bone Thugs in Harmony singing Mo Murda, but it's their word for poo-poo.
Oh.
But the S word for poo-poo. Mo Murda.
The more you know.
So, last night, Game of Thrones. There is Ramsay Bolton. Ramsay Bolton is the most hateable character since...
Not burying the lead.
Who would you vote for any sort of as hateable as Ramsay
Bolton?
How could
you... Okay, and there, as a man,
bigger dick,
there is no, like,
in fiction.
There's nothing you could even think of. Like, there isn't even, like, a bad guy that comes to mind when he did what he did to Theon. Like, you're just like, no, I couldn't even
Iago
think.
There's Iago from Othello, and you even could, he's like, wow, what a prick.
You could squish a thousand men's eyeballs with your thumbs in front of me, and I'd be like, no, he's still got it way worse, brother.
So Ramsay, yeah, rapes people, flays people, cuts the wieners off people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a massive dick about it, too. He's not, like, saying he's doing it in the name of God. You know he's doing it just because
of... Just for fun?
Just for kicks. Just for S and giggles. Like, the way that I fire up my Wii U and listen to my Bennington at the end of a hard day, that's what Ramsay does for prick jobbing.
No, we know how you listen to it.
Well, yeah, I listen to Ron
in the shower.
I listen to Ron and Gail Bennington in the shower. That's actually my shower time thing. That's why it was weird hearing their voices with my pants on.
I know. So, must have been hard.
Oh, it was.
Yes.
Tee-hee. So last night, Ramsay Bolton, just the bastard of bastards, goes even at the very end, killing people in cold blood, just to be like, hey, in case you have... You know, the memory of Drew Barrymore in 51st Dates, and you forgot what a bastard I was. What a dick weasel I've been these previous six seasons. I'm going to kill someone right now. Just a couple of them right now. Ramsay Bolton finally caught and shamed in all the ways you could have ever wanted. He's beaten
How
by
did
John.
How did it happen? Explain to me, because I haven't watched for like... I guess I'm going to watch now, especially since that happened. But I haven't... You don't have to... bring up the last couple of seasons for me, but just explain to me how he died, because I really, really want to know. Because I was watching when he was, you know, taking dude's dong and stuff.
In essence, Jon Snow, who's back from the dead, says we have to take our ancestral home, I think Winterfell. And Ramsay is shacked up in there, so Jon gets together some of the people of the north, and he's like, we're going to take this junk. And they march on Ramsay, and... They're going to get murdered, and then out of nowhere, Sansa, who's got Mare Carchetti from The Wire sniffing around her ginger minge, she shows up.
I mean, and who wouldn't?
Yeah. She's, gingers. Hell yeah. Thumbs up. Double
gingers, hell yeah.
Double thumbs up on that. So Carchetti's like, hey, cops of Baltimore, come in there and beat those guys to death. So Ramsay's forces, who look like they're about to annihilate what's left of Jon's people... just get swept under, like, thousands of cavalry. I mean, it looks like they dumped Drano into a toilet that, you know, you took your first decent dump after 7 days at camp.
Yeah.
So you've kind of been holding it in.
Yo, you've been holding it in for a while, yeah, because you're not at that age yet where you can comfortably go to the bathroom in front of other people.
Yeah, or into an open latrine where it just falls 8 feet
too.
Onto cinder blocks.
No, there's some sort of decency where you just don't want to sit on some garbage like that.
You get home and you clog the plumbing with a vengeance. So they just sweep in, and Ramsay's just got this look of, they got me. Bastards got me. So Jon Snow grabs him, beats him to a bloody pulp, then looks up and sees Sansa, who I don't think was like so much, stop it, stop, he's already dead. As, please keep him alive so I can kill him too.
Hmm.
And about 5 minutes later, he's tied up on a chair, and they feed him to a bunch of pit bulls who go kissy kissy on his face first, and then just rip out his jaw like the end of
the
fly.
Oh wow, that sounds awesome.
Like Grundle Seth's final transformation. And that's it. We cut to the credits. It was, I haven't had an orgasm awesome. That satisfying in, oh, months, maybe years. Maybe I've got prostate problems. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe.
We'll get to that later. But the satisfaction
you've been massaging
level,
it like I told you?
Yeah, three fingers.
Okay.
Four on a weekend. So the, between that happening and cutting to LeBron, that was just like spiritually taking such a long, beautiful leak. I think as I tweeted, it was like taking a piss after 8 hours in a car where you're like, this feels so right
that
and
road
so
trip
good.
Is.
And it's just going and going. Like it's not ending.
Mm.
And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I love seeing that bastard bite it. I love seeing LeBron win. It was a good Sunday. Silicon Valley, very crap episode. Did not
oh,
care.
Was it?
It was.
Oh, bummer. I was starting to catch up on that last night.
I love the show, and I didn't give a damn. I
think it's great. Love Mike Judge.
I know that the...
Oh, I have some beef with them, though.
What's
I was,
that?
As a nerd, I hate the fact that they are in Silicon Valley. They have a little bit of money, and they have monitors that are using VGA cables. And you're like, what the hell are you even talking about?
Oh, what do
the
Magic...
world's oldest monitor cables you could possibly use?
What do I mean, Magic Nerd cables, what are they now? HDMI?
Just use HDMI. Yeah, I mean, like, they would be using HDMI. At the minimum, DVI. Or direct input or whatever the hell it is. But what the hell? Not VGA.
What
and I was just
hell,
really
no?
mad at their set director, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can keep watching this.
I'm always...
I thought Mike Judge was better than that.
Especially, you get this in the face so much with Mr. Robot, where they're talking tech, and you're like, I know this dude's just an actor at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, he's just spitting out crap written by someone who probably doesn't know much more than him.
And that was, yeah, I had to let it go, but I thought that was absurd. I was like, guy's running, like, four monitors, you know, and it's supposed to be this high-tech
there's just
guru,
cruddy old
and you're
VGA.
Just like, come on, man. He's not getting resolution with that. Are you kidding me?
That's the
that's
deal breaker
crap.
For you.
Yeah. How's he supposed to look at porn? That's garbage.
Not even 3D.
Not even close.
At
those
least,
aren't VR goggles.
At least it's SVGA. Mm-hmm. At least it's that.
VR goggles. So bad.
That's what we're going to get.
That's
we're going to have VR porn. That is our one inheritance. Well, I think we're actually ready to call it a day. Boom. There we go. Surf Rider. You only took a second to start. Everyone, this was the 499th episode of Papa's Basement.
Oh my god, I totally forgot that.
For
I
you,
totally just spaced.
Asian math
the
wizards
whole episode.
In the audience, that means the next one is the 500th. We're going to try to organize some sort of meet and greet in the DC area before that happens or after it happens, just somewhere in the next month.
Around
or
the
so.
Time, yeah.
We just, yeah, we don't want it to be like 528. Then
whenever it's
weird.
Convenient for us.
We'll figure
sorry.
It out. Pete, thank you again for all you did to get the
my
Benningtons.
Pleasure.
On the show. That was a real blast. And thank you to Chris Stanley, Gail Bennington, and Ron Bennington for doing all they did to be on the show and talk on the show. That just was a real highlight in terms of anything I've done behind a microphone.
Especially with your years at JFK.
My many, many years where, yeah, all the talent had already
it
left.
All left. And you're like, please, come back.
Someone, anyone. So,
you waited long enough.
In papasbasement.com, every episode we've ever done, at Papa's Basement on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/papasbasement, and I think that's it. We can do the outro. Anything?
I'm happy, maybe.
I don't like you dancing so seductively to this song. You're like a 60s girl.
That's why we had to stop filming.
Yeah, your bosom tassels a dangling.
Getting too many hits.
All right, till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
He said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.